Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading we heard, Luke 24, verse 13 and onwards. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, we pray that you would lift us from the sadness and disappointments of our earthly journey to the joy of the resurrection and presence of our Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, but what does this mean for us? This is what we are privileged to have the whole Easter season to think about, because there's so much to say. For example, Jesus Christ is risen, and so we know for sure that he is who he claimed to be, the Son of God in human flesh. Jesus Christ is risen, and so we know that his work has been vindicated by God the Father, his sacrifice for sin accepted. Jesus Christ is risen, and so we know that death has been defeated. As he rose, so will we. And we could go on and on of the many blessings and benefits and implications of the resurrection of Jesus. But for today, there is another blessing of the resurrection that we want to focus on, which is brought out beautifully in our story. And this one is really quite obvious, but for that reason, it can be easy to overlook, which is that because Jesus Christ is risen, it means he can be and is present with us today. In the Christian faith, we do not remember a dead hero who did amazing things 2,000 years ago. But we worship a risen and living Jesus who is present and active among us today. The question then is, how is he present? Where? In what way? And this is what this story helps us to think about, as it points us to his presence in his word and in his meal. So let's look more closely at this story today. It begins with a weary walk, it continues with a heartwarming homily, and it ends in a mysterious meal. First is the weary walk. We meet our disciples today walking on the road to a village called Emmaus. It's the afternoon of Easter Sunday. It's been a big weekend, to say the least. And so these two disciples here are talking all of this over, trying to work out what happened and why, trying to make sense of it all. We often do this after big events, don't we? We debrief with each other. We talk things out. And those of you who are walkers know that there seems to be something about walking together which is conducive to conversation. People can really open up if you walk together somewhere for long enough. And this same dynamic applies to talking of spiritual things, the things of God. I've had many great conversations about the things of God simply walking along with people. This is part of the dynamic of pilgrimage in other parts of the world. It makes me think too of the instructions we're given in Deuteronomy, where Moses says, "These words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way." So here they are, walking and talking about the events of Holy Week. And what happens? Jesus comes near to them. As a Christian, you never walk alone in this life. And especially as two or three gather in Jesus' name, as Christian people together, we are never alone. Perhaps some of you have one of those plaques somewhere in your home which reads like this: Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Jesus walks with us on our journey through life. The problem is that, like these first disciples, we are unable to fully recognize him. So Jesus comes near and he asks them what they are talking about. And it's here that we discover this is actually a sad journey for these two disciples. This is a weary walk to Emmaus. Why? Because their hopes have been dashed, haven't they? They had thought that this Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. Palm Sunday seemed to set the right course, but before they knew it, he was arrested and mocked, beaten and crucified. The wind had been knocked out of them all, the rug pulled out from beneath their feet. Now, sure, there were some rumours from the women about an empty tomb and such things, but this just added confusion now to their grief. And so it was a weary walk to Emmaus that day. And if we're honest, we have to admit that sometimes our walk through this life can be weary too, can't it? We too look to Jesus to solve all the problems we face on this journey through life, but our hopes can be disappointed too. Jesus does not want to leave us there, but he does meet us even in our dashed hopes and disappointments, even when we don't recognize him. So it begins with the weary walk. But then the story moves to this heartwarming homily. Jesus confronts them in their sadness. Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Now, I think it's important to notice here that Jesus does not confront them with their failure to recognize his physical appearance, but with their failure to believe the scriptures. Because this part of the story is about how Jesus is revealed and present in his word, and especially his word as it tells of his saving work on the cross. The disciples are sad because of what had happened to Jesus, but Jesus corrects them. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Jesus is telling them, you do not need to be gloomy. My suffering and death were not a sad and disappointing turn of events. This was all part of the plan. This was, in fact, a divine necessity that it happened this way. And so to lift them out of their sadness, to help them make sense of all they had just seen in Jerusalem, and to begin to reveal himself to them, Jesus gave them the best Bible study or homily or sermon that there has ever been. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And later on, the disciples said it was as this happened that their hearts began to burn within them. It was a heartwarming homily. Wouldn't you love to know what he said on that road? As Jesus wove his way through the story of the Old Testament scriptures, from Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, to the Exodus and the wilderness wanderings, to the promised land and the judges and the kings, to the exile and the return, the prophetic promises and the Psalms, he took them through this familiar story. The scriptures they'd known from childhood. But he showed them that from beginning to end, it was all about him. About his death and resurrection to truly redeem Israel. And it's there, as Jesus teaches and preaches himself from the Word of God, that his hidden presence begins to be revealed to them. So it is for us today. As we walk through life with Jesus, our unseen companion, he reaches out to our hearts. He reveals himself to us, firstly, through his word. Through reading and meditation on his word, through study of his word, through hearing the preaching of his word. And notice, not primarily in coming to his word through the lens of how to live a good life, as important as that is, but coming to his word first and foremost through the lens of the death and resurrection of Jesus for your redemption. That is what begins to lift the disciples from sadness and disappointment. And that's what he still does for us today. So they began with their weary walk, and then they continued with this heartwarming homily. But then finally the story ends in this mysterious meal. I'm sure you've had this experience. When you're in the midst of such a wonderful conversation, but the circumstances that brought you together are coming to their natural end. Whether it's a walk that you're on, or a bus trip, or a dinner, it's nearly over. It feels like there's so much more to say, you don't want it to end. Perhaps that's how the disciples felt as they neared the village. Because they were bold enough to urge Jesus, "Stay with us. Stay with us." In the old translation, "abide with us." This is the phrase which has been taken up for us in the beautiful hymns and prayers of the church. "Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. Abide with us, Jesus, now and at the hour of our death. Abide with us, stay with us," a simple but profound prayer we can take on our lips. So Jesus takes up their invitation. And at the meal, he does something very strange, doesn't he? He is the guest, but he becomes the host. He takes bread. He blesses it. He breaks it. Unmistakably echoing the Lord's Supper he has celebrated just before he died. And it was then that they fully recognized him. But as they did, they were no longer able to see him. And here we are brought to the heart, the mystery of Christian worship. The mystery of the risen Lord Jesus present among us. Jesus does walk with us in this life. The problem is we cannot fully recognize him. But Jesus is teaching us in this story that it is as we are gathered with his people in worship. There we encounter him. There he reveals himself to us, especially in Scripture and in supper. In the Bible and in the breaking of the bread, in word and in meal, or as we like to say, in word and in sacrament. It's true that Jesus is everywhere. It's true that it is good to walk and talk with other Christians, to meet and have coffee, to do all sorts of things together as Christians. Jesus is always with us. But it is also true, and this story emphasizes for us, that he has promised to be with us and for us in a particular way, through particular means, through his word, and through this holy meal. When I read this story, I can't help but think of friends I have met around the world in other churches who literally walk to church. When I was in Indonesia, I remember asking them, "What time does church start?" And they said, "Well, when everyone gets there." Why? because many people walk to church many, many kilometres. If it's raining, this takes longer, you start later. Is Jesus with them on the journey, on the walk to church? Of course he is. And yet they still come to church, because it is with the gathered people of God, in his word and in his meal, that he is fully revealed to them. You may not walk all the way to church, but we do have our little walk here, don't we? We get up, we walk to this sanctuary. We encounter the risen Lord Jesus in his meal. And then we make our journey back with the risen Lord Jesus and with the wonderful news to share, as the disciples did: the Lord is risen indeed. So from the walk to Emmaus, through the heartwarming homily to this mysterious meal, Jesus reveals his hidden presence to his disciples. So may the Lord set our hearts on fire as we hear his word. May he open our eyes to recognize him in the breaking of the bread. May he lift us out of sadness and disappointment and give us the joy of his presence with us. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In the name of Jesus, amen.